A Guru's Treatment Works. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. A Guru's Treatment Works. We read about gurus all over the world. These are people who are dedicated to their philosophy. They're dedicated to listening within. They're dedicated to knowing who they are. And these are people who make statements, who treat for people. They can be healing gurus, or they can be ordinary gurus, just teachers, or people who share the wisdom that they have, much like a hermit would be. And as they do this, they give wisdom, and they give guidance, and they give love to people in their world. And the people in their world ask for healing, they ask for abundance, they ask for right action, they ask for all types of treatment that anyone could ask for. And the guru, when asked, and when responding, the guru's treatments work. Now, as the guru sits in her cave, or sits in her quiet time, or in her place of peace, as a guru does this, she is at peace with herself. She may have all sorts of projects that she's working on, but these things are of little importance. The only importance to her is knowing who she is and being it. Now, gurus, some like to write books, some like to run organizations, some like to work in businesses, some like to do 1,001 different things. And each thing that they do, they sort of go into incognito, they go into people not knowing really who they are. And so as they conduct their activities and their affairs, they appear, in large, as a human, so as not to draw attention to themselves. But everything they do is a joy and a magic to them. And as each of these gurus work in their work, they do so with harmony and with peace and with love. And they do so easily, gently, lovingly. They do so effectively, very effectively. Now, people would not think of calling Bill Gates a guru. Why? Well, he truly is. People would not think of calling Warren Buffett a guru. They'd call him a money creature. They'd not think of calling the President of the United States a guru. And yet, truly, every president is a guru. And when the president goes into office, he usually goes into office with very powerful ideas. The president was elected into office not because of the party that he represented, not because of the people who promoted him or thought he was worthy of being president, but because he thought he was president. He thought he was worthy of that responsibility. Now, the ideal presidents are the ones who continue to think that they have a message to carry out. They have a message to carry through to the people. And the moment they start allowing people who put them into office, so to speak, people who sponsored them, people who paid their way, the moment he allows vested interests to control how he conducts himself as a president, he becomes less and less effective, and he becomes just an ordinary president, an ordinary man, an ordinary being doing an ordinary job. A president, an ordinary job? You bet. It has certain requirements about it that make it just an ordinary job. But the outstanding, the amazing, the glorified beings who are present and who shine forth as president in magical ways that no one else could ever have imagined. These are people who are truly gurus. They are people who listen to the divine within them and follow the divine within them regardless of any outside circumstance. Oh, they may stumble occasionally as they try to do what other people think is right. But the moment they persistently take charge to do what they know is right themselves, from their very soul, then beautiful things happen. Then beautiful things work out, and beautiful things manifest. It's so interesting that great men and great women become the CEOs of major businesses. And as they become the CEO of these major businesses, they've got enough money, they don't need to be paid, but they have enough money that they could live very comfortably for eternity. But they take this job because they feel it's a challenge and they feel that they can handle that in its own specific way. They can build upon its own virtues and make the business a success. And they do. And their board of directors is so thrilled with how well they make it a success. They've taken a company that was worth, say, $6 billion and made it $30 billion. And the board of directors says, a small token of how wonderfully you have made our company grow and be, we want to pay you. Well, if every board of directors would have a CEO who worked for $1 a year, because he doesn't really need the money. And as he works for $1 a year, he has no special gifts, no special payments that are made to him, and no special payments that are made to show how much they appreciate it. Then that man is really demonstrating his guruship and being an outstanding man. He takes a company worth $6 billion and turns it into a $30 billion company, just as an illustration. And he does not take any credit for it. He knows he did a good job. He knows that it was through his genius and through his empowerment that he brought this about. But in the process of bringing it about, he did not bring it about because he wanted to gained some of the largesse from the abundance he brought into the company. Now this takes a truly magical person. It takes a truly guru type person. And there are many guru type persons. And they truly are guru type persons. Now the men who become the president's advisors at $1 a year, leaving their jobs as responsible businessmen in the community, they are getting a reward of being the president's advisor, which in itself is quite a compliment. The CEO of a major business is a title that is quite a compliment to the genius of that person. And when there are no benefits outside of just doing a good job, then that's what it's all about. Why is it that gurus live in apparent poverty? And I say apparent because it's truly not poverty. Gurus do not necessarily like to spend money or have big cars or have big operations. Gurus just are themselves. And they live in a harmonious, joyful world. Like Sai Baba's, Swami Rama's guru, he lived in a cave in the Himalayas, and Swami Rama lived there, as well as all the other young students who were training under the guru. And when Swami Rama was time for him to go to college, and he needed to have money to go, the guru said, well, go in the back cave there, and there's all sorts of gems and gifts that have been given to me over the years, and take all you need and go and buy what you need to go to college and support yourself in college. So Swami Rama did. And he had been living with a loincloth or nothing at all for all of his young years. And when he went to college, he bought himself the finest suits that could be had. He hired 5 young men to work for him, to take care of his apartment, to take care of his house, to drive his cars, to do all the things that he wanted done. And he lived quite lavishly. And when he came back to his guru and sort of carried on wearing his beautiful things, the guru said, "I have a task for you." And he sent him off to have a humility-based task, which sort of brought him back to base again. But the guru didn't say, "You are terrible, doing the wrong thing, you are foolish." He just brought him back to task by allowing him to see that humility was something tremendously valuable beyond any money. Every guru has behind him the infinite wealth of the universe. Every guru has behind him the infinite power of the universe, the infinite power to speak his word and bring about tremendous results. You and I each have this capacity. We each have this ability. Oh yes, the women who are CEOs and the men who are CEOs are all a little bit subject to the glory of their task, and when they are monetarily rewarded for doing a most amazing task, they accept it, and they live in the abundance of what they are. But that which made them a genius, that which made these CEOs a genius, that which made a guru a genius, was not the money, or was not the possibility of abundance, but it was learning to use the abundance that lay within them, learning to live within the consciousness of the wealth that they were. They didn't need anything for themselves. Everything they got, they used for their operation of their guruship or whatever project they were working on. And people who tried to give them gifts gave them gifts because they thought they would look good in this suit or that, or in this clothing or that, in this office or that, or that they should do this or that. And every time students who cluster around a guru forget who they are and begin to tell the guru what it should do, the guru fades and fades and fades and simply disappears from their world. When a guru speaks, a guru does not speak for anything for himself. But he speaks out of the wisdom, out of the genius, out of the wonder and magic of the inner from which he dwells. And when he makes suggestions, his suggestions are not really suggestions. They are empowerment of grand ideas. And the guru, happily, is never wrong. The guru is always teaching a strong, powerful, beautiful awareness. The guru lives 100% of his life in meditation. And though the guru can do anything himself, his greatest joy is in having his students, or the people that cluster about him, to have them be able to carry out the desire of their heart, the wisdom of their genius, the magic of their lives. A guru lives in a constant state of meditation, always seeing done that which he sees, always knowing that which she has contemplated in her consciousness as being fulfilled and objectively completed. When we arrive at this state, then we are there as advisors, And it's not we who are lifted up or who are blessed by all of this, but it is all who look upon what we have to share. They are lifted up and they are blessed beyond measure. And we just go on into the eternity of being ourselves and having fun. For to us, what is having fun is quite different from what another person might experience. For us, having fun is living in a state of eternal bliss in the here and the now. Join with me if you like, because if you're listening to me now, you're already a guru. You are already a master. You are already a genius. You are already all in all. I love you. I love you. I love you.